Welcome to NAV Church Online. We are so excited that this week you've once again joined our conversation in the School of Hard Knocks. My name is David Amston, lead pastor here at the church. We have an amazing team around us that always makes our worship time. Actually, I think it's a beautiful time of worship, and I want to thank that team for every week getting us something to be able to do. Even though we can't be here together in a building, we can still do church together because the church is gathering online right now. So thank you for the worship team. I also want to encourage you out there. These are new times that we're living in, and I believe when you're here in a building and there's music happening, people are standing, you're more likely to engage and sing and be a part of it. This may be weird, but I want to encourage you at your house, stand up. I want to encourage you, turn the volume up just a little bit louder and get used to worshiping at home. And here's why I say that. Your worship should never end. It shouldn't be a one-time event on a Sunday morning when you happen to make it out to a building, but you can get actually used to playing worship music in your house or some type of music that helps you engage with God to either tell him about who he is or engage in some level of praise and worship, giving him worth. And so I want to thank the team for every week providing something for us to do as a church. And I say a church because it's not a building, it's not a place, it's not a thing, it's a people, and you're that person as being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we just want to welcome you today. I am so excited. I don't know if you can hear it in my tone and tenor. I can feel like I'm leaning in right now, and no, it's not because I've been over-caffeinated through coffee. It's just because I'm excited about what we're going to be doing today. We have a pastor by the name of Manny Parks. He's out of Page, Arizona. And I'll tell you more about Page later on in my conversation with him and about the world that he lives in. But I can tell you now, he is a big church in a small town. But even that, greater than that, in this small town, they're having a huge impact. And so I was talking with Pastor Manny, who's one of our overseers here at the church. One of our apostles would be the term that we would use as oversight to the church to make sure that we are always in the direction and line that we should be going. And I asked him, have you ever been to the School of Hard Knocks before? And he, along with Pastor Philip, who we talked to last week, and Pastor Daryl, who will be a part of our conversation next week, he responded the same way as everyone else. There was a small chuckle and said, which one do you want to know? Because I have some degrees hanging on my wall from the School of Hard Knocks. And I've invited him to be a part of today's conversation to tell us a journey that he went on through a building program, as well as what we learned on that. And I'll jump back on at the end of our conversation with Pastor Manny to kind of drive home a few more little nuggets. But for right now, I just want to invite Pastor Manny Parks into the conversation. As I just mentioned, we're going to be joining Pastor Manny Parks from Page, Arizona, Faith Bible Chapel. And here he is with me live, first and foremost. Pastor Manny, thank you for joining us today.
I'm really happy to be with you guys. I tell you what, I had such a blast when I got to spend the time with you guys with just a few months ago, really. And it was just such a joy. I felt right at home. That was the best part. And so it's just a thrill to be with you guys again. It's an awesome church.
So Pastor Manny, for those who don't remember, he actually was a part of the Army for some time as a field artillery surveyor, eventually got his degree and a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. Hopefully I have that right, with a minor in psychology. Correct. With a minor in psychology, so I'm not going to try to outsmart him today. He's smarter than I am. But while at college, he had the call to go into ministry, eventually went to seminary, and graduated there in 1991. And then eventually, looks like you traveled the nation, being in different churches, till eventually coming back home, if you would. And so how long have you actually been the lead pastor now, or senior pastor of Faith Bible out there in Page?
Well, the end of July will be 24 years.
Okay.
Which was, and I think Brent was just toddling at that time. So, no, seriously though, he came on with us, he and Teresa, about 2 years after that.
Okay.
We got out there in 96, and then Brent and Teresa joined us shortly thereafter.
Wonderful. Well, I know as many of you that are part of Navigation Church, Brent and Teresa are a part of the team here. And I'll tell you now, just like Pastor Manny's going to say, we got the deal of a lifetime when we partnered up with them. And so just an amazing family. And let's just jump into the conversation. I've been a couple weeks now talking about the School of Hard Knocks, a lot of lessons that I've learned and trying to give really the backstory behind it, as well as the life principle that I learned from it. And I've learned over time, every pastor, most people that are at least, you know, cognitively aware of their world around them have some level of a bachelor, master's, or maybe even a doctorate from the School of Hard Knocks. And so here's just kind of your first softball question. Have you ever attended the School of Hard Knocks? And if so, what class did you learn from? What degree did you get from it?
Well, definitely been in the class of Hard Knocks. I'm not sure if I've passed and graduated yet. you know, I think the term knothead comes from getting all those, you know, hard knocks up beside your head. And so I don't think you ever really graduate from the School of Hard Knocks. Okay. If you do, then I'm working towards my PhD.
There it is.
Because I don't learn anything the easy way. I wish I was one of those who, you know, it's like, hey, I watched so-and-so, and boy, that didn't work out so well. There are a few, but only a few things that I've learned by watching other people do it. And I've realized, hey, that probably won't work. I probably should go a different way. Yeah. Unfortunately, all too often, and this is kind of childish thinking, but we think, well, hey, I can do that, but I can make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is it just isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I think I'm working towards my PhD.
Okay.
And yeah, for sure. I'm past the master's level.
Well, would you mind sharing maybe one area, that lesson that you've learned, that, because I'll tell you now, already people listening to you talk, all of us are probably saying, yes, I have knots on my head too from these hard knocks. Yes. And so we're with you there. Would you mind just sharing a life lesson that you've learned?
I'm happy to do that. And I think honestly, you know, just in our interaction, I think this is one that you'll actually relate to really well. I think people who are in leadership positions, I think this is something that we're very prone to. And honestly, this has probably been, it probably was one of the hardest times in my life. And it just so happened that Pastor Brent and Teresa were here for that time. It had nothing to do with them other than they were supportive.
Okay.
All right. So,
hey, Pastor Brent, all's clear with you. He's good.
Good. Yeah. So I got his back.
Yeah. Right?
And so, but with that, it was during that time, and Pastor Brent was, and Teresa were right in the thick of that, is that we had outgrown our facility. When I got in there in 96, the thing that really started going crazy was youth ministry. We had some talented kids. We had a really good worship team. And it was one of those things where we'd get together and we'd be worshiping, and rather than doing a message or anything like that, the Spirit would fall, and we, you know, and we just end up doing altar ministry, and just great things were happening. And so literally kids were coming to Faith Bible Chapel and bringing their parent.
Wow.
And so we went from like 48 in this little place to like 120, 130. We had to go to two services, but we didn't have enough space for parking. You know, we had been able, you know, to pay off that particular facility. And so, but there was nowhere we could expand and actually purchase ground so that we could have parking. Mm-hmm. And so people, you know, we'd fill up our parking lot and then they'd park other places. Well, some of the places right next to us were businesses like, a glass company who would get called out. And so they'd have to come get their vehicle. Well, it was blocked in by vehicles.
Oh, wow.
Coming here. And so, you know, and it's a small, people that haven't been to Page, Arizona. And I'm so glad that, you know, the Johnson family's there. We are a long ways from anything mm-hmm. other than Lake Powell. And so we don't have feeder communities. We're just this little bitty community of about 8,000 in the middle of nowhere, literally in the, you know,
I'm actually glad you're putting that into context, because sometimes we think of churches, when you just said we're 45 and we grew to over 100, which now you're well over 200. A lot of times in the American culture, we think, oh, a mega church is at 2,000, you know, 5,000, whatever it might be. Well, you're surrounded by Native American reserves, and then you have this small community of 8,000. So a church of 200 plus would be considered the mega church of that area. So I'm actually really glad you kind of put that into context, because everybody in that community knows you, and it is because of the influence and the growth that you have had.
It's been incredible. I did the math one time, and we had when we have a really full service, close to 5% of pages in Faith Bible Chapel at that time.
Yeah, any church.
So it's really kind of cool. And it's been really exciting. And the truth of the matter is I'm a small town guy. I love small town life. So this was like a dream come true. And part of the vision here was, why can't a small community have a church with big church, small town, big ministry kind of thing, to where all the quality, which, you know, and I found this with your folks there, small town people are great people. Mm-hmm. And they're honest folks and caring folks. And I mean, I found that right there in your town, you know. And so it just always wanted a big ministry in a small town setting. So we got here.
And influx of kids that were coming all the time. You've outgrown your facility. It was paid for.
Yeah.
What ended up happening?
So I needed a youth guy. Yeah. Because the kids, it was going so well that I needed a youth guy. And so we got looking, and God divinely set us up to, there's one guy that was supposed to come, but he wasn't available. And honestly, thank God, because somebody he recommended was Brent, and he had just married Teresa. And so, I mean, they were young, and so they came out, you know, and hadn't been married long. And so, you know, he took over the youth ministry to allow me to get, you know, stay focused. And I've always been part of our worship team. And Teresa was a key part of the worship team when she was here. So we just started growing, and we just couldn't fit in the place we were in anymore. We couldn't expand. We couldn't buy adjoining land or anything. So we had to find a new place, and literally had a school superintendent, because the school owned different little slots of land, that literally someplace would freeze over before we'd be able to get a hold of any of that land. And he wasn't being hostile. It was the nature of the politics of the time. He wasn't anti-church or anything. I don't want to give that impression.
It's just the facts.
And I was looking with a brother pastor from an independent Baptist church. We'd actually served together in the National Guard in New Mexico, and literally moved here within a week of each other. Didn't even know the other was moving here. Literally ran into each other at a church camp setting, and it was just hysterical. So we were looking together, within about 18 months from that time, we had purchased 5 acres.
Wow.
From the school. Wow. And things had changed, and God opened doors. But in that meantime, we were kind of a tabernacle church. We were setting up in the local civil arts building, and we're doing services there, but we had to set up and tear down every Sunday. And what happens with those things is, you got a great crew when you start, and then you got a faithful 4, 5, 6 people that do it every Sunday.
Sure.
So it was time to get to a place. We literally took over a Masonic lodge.
There you go. There's the kingdom.
We took over a Masonic lodge. And it was amazing. It was one of those things where we're praying in the center of our little town. And I looked over there, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to talk to those folks, because the building was empty.
Wow.
Called one of the head people for the Masonic Lodge in Arizona. He was a deacon at the local Baptist church, gave us super favorable odds, wanted to sell it to us, but it had a low ceiling, and we're a very musical church. So we ended up there for a year and a half, and we were doing well there, but we, again, just no room. But in that time, we found our property. We paid for our property. We sold our original property at a very, and we made out very well with that. Mm-hmm. And so we had we had our property, which out here, as opposed to there, property here is way more expensive. Materials here are crazy way more expensive. You know, I mean, what would be a $150,000 place where you live would be like a $350,000 place out west here.
Wow.
I don't know why that is. It's insane. Yeah. So we were fundraising, and because we had the vision, you know, to build a nicer, bigger church. And so we had like $500,000 after we paid off our 5 acres that we were building.
Hey, Manny, I got to jump in. So if you're just now tuning in, watching us on Sunday morning, this is Pastor Manny Parks, Page, Arizona. And he's supposed to be telling us about his School of Hard Knocks. So far, he was told he wasn't going to have favor with the school district, but he did. He got 5 acres of land that you got paid for. You had favor with the Masonic Lodge, eventually moved in there. And now you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. I apologize. I don't know what your definition of School of Hard Knocks is, but so far, this is, I mean, you've had an influx of youth. At this point, I'm thinking I've been going to the wrong school this whole time.
Well, but you know, the best part, to understand, truly understand scripture, you got to get the context.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so all this is setting up, and that's where I was telling you how everything is so crazy expensive. And so we get everybody together and we dream and come up with a vision for where we should go as a church. And I have great people that put it all together, synthesize it, go out, find a blueprint. And so then we get the blueprint, which is from somewhere like Missouri, you know, and of course, you know, building a place that size in Missouri is one thing, but building a place like that here is a whole different animal.
Sure.
You know? And so I like when gas tanked out, you know, and it was like $1.25 and even a dollar places here, we never saw anything lower than $2.25.
No kidding.
Per gallon. Yeah. So I'm saying that to lead you into, you know, the whole building with everything we wanted, with the land paid for, just the building, when we talked to our contractor, and that's with us doing a lot of the work because we have skilled people in the congregation, came back to $4 million.
Wow.
$4 million. One of my leaders just he his jaw dropped and he looked around and he said, "We can't do this." And you know, we had been fundraising, so we'd fundraised somewhere around $220,000. We had $240,000, you know, put away. So we're just like, holy smokes. And, you know, $4 million is staggering. And so, you know, everybody was ready to hang it up there. And part of my struggle is I am so afraid of letting people down.
Okay.
So, and one thing that to me was unthinkable is we have collected money for people. There is no way I'm going to go tell them, oops, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things. And I don't know for you, but when I hear something like that and it's like unthinkable and kind of that 2x4 upside the head that you're not expecting, I just kind of went cold and you get this cold ice pit in your stomach.
Yep.
And your brain goes numb. And I looked around at the guys and I said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to scale it back. And we had huge vision. So, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere on a town of 8,000. We had huge vision and, you know, balcony, I mean, all this stuff. And so it's like, we need to cut this down. We, you know, and you deal with your dollar per square foot, you know, and what can we do at a, you know, at $160 per square foot. Now this was, you know, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like that much a square foot.
And to us here in the middle, that's still a hefty dollar per square foot.
Yeah. So, and this was back 11 years ago or 12 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we take it down to one level. As a matter of fact, our stage is kind of high, and that's because we forgot to lower the stage when we took the balcony down. But we got it smaller. Now, this is the thing is after we cut it all down, it was still 14,000 square feet.
No kidding.
And so, no kidding. And so, you know, we're working with the contractor. And here's the whole thing, is literally my guts basically melted when I heard that number. I was going to bed at night staring at the ceiling, my mind going a million miles an hour. And for any of you who do that, please send me a letter if that's ever done you any good, because it's never done me a lick of good ever.
Good word there.
So it just has never worked. I've never come up with anything while my mind has been spinning a million miles an hour at night. It just doesn't work. And so
actually, I'm pretty sure the scriptures say that if you worry, can you add one moment to your life?
Yes.
Comes out of Psalms.
Somebody famous said that.
Pretty famous. I'm pretty sure it's also. So yeah, scriptures are Proverbs, very, very specific on the lack of fruit that you will see in practicing or having the discipline of worry. And truth be told, worry is the opposite of, or it is the faith, but it's faith in the wrong thing. So if you have faith, you have more faith in failure than you do your God when you practice worry. So, so you're in bed at night, mind is racing. What are you going to do?
Mind is racing. It was crazy. And so funny, because I'm so thrilled about the victory side of it that I forget that the point is the hard knocks. But the truth of the matter is that I was literally sick for like weeks at a time. And I'd get over it for a little while, but you know, we kept going because building comes in stages. And we have no idea how we're going to pay for this. Mm-hmm. And so by time we cut it back and everything, we're still looking at something over 2 million. Mm-hmm. But we live real close to an electric plant, and I've got some amazing people. Most of them happen to be native, because the plant is a native preference plant. Most of them are electricians. So they framed it out. We started pulling the wire. We pulled every bit of wire in that church. We set up every electrical box. I was part of that. They literally took all of their vacation and spent it building that church.
Wow.
They bent all the conduit. And one of the head guys there, who didn't happen to be native, but he oversaw it. He was a contractor at one time. So he connected with the contractor. One of the key guys for the contractor that poured the concrete ended up marrying becoming a faithful member of our church, married one of the gals from our church.
Wow.
And they have four boys now, and they're doing excellent down at Scottsdale Bible down in Scottsdale, Arizona now. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, is that I did not know how this was going to happen. And mathematically it did not compute. There was no way mathematically. And so, but we started pulling all that. We had a crew that did cleanup. So when they were done doing construction, we came in, we cleaned it all out. Sure. So we had painters who came, and then we went and one of our elders was part of the local hardware store who got us paint at cost. One guy's daughter was a designer. She designed all the paint and colors and tile and all of that. The hardware store favored us with everything at cost. And so materials now has been knocked down. We're providing Nate labor. We saved well over $100,000 in labor.
Wow.
Just with pulling wire and doing all the electrical. We have an electrical engineer in our congregation. He engineered everything out. We set up the great big box in the back that covered our electrical. So we had skilled people who came who knew how to use tools, and we were doing a lot of this stuff ourselves. Mm-hmm. When the general contractor came through, he went and he would put a polarity tester in each of the outlets to make sure they're right. Only found one box that wasn't right. He said, professionals don't do that well.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm taking you to the end, but then I'm going to come around to what I learned.
Okay.
And where the problem was. Okay. When we were done, what we thought initially is, okay, we're going to have the sanctuary set up with the sound system. It was engineered sound for our sanctuary so that sound would be good. You know, we had the baffles and everything, and And so it's like, we'll set that up. And then the educational side, the fellowship hall side, we just won't finish that. We'll, that way we're in, we're meeting, we'll raise money, we'll slowly build the rest. Sure. I don't even know how this happened, but we got both sides done.
Really?
When we stepped in there, now we didn't have doors. The doors were going to be like 12, like somewhere around $2,800, if I remember right. But we didn't have the doors. But somehow money just kept stretching. Things kept happening. And we didn't get any big sums of money come in addition to what we'd raised or anything. I literally cannot tell you how it happened.
Yeah.
But we were able to finish out the other side. We put out word. The only thing we don't have is doors, but God has been real faithful. Somebody stepped up and bought the doors.
Wow.
But somebody in the congregation bought the door. I don't even know who. Somebody else bought the computer that ran our system, you know, for the video stuff. And so we ended up with the money we raised, the work we did, we ended up borrowing $840,000. And this was before the big economic crash. I think that was in 08.
Yeah.
But so at that time, before the crash, it was valued at somewhere around $2.25 million.
Wow. And I mean, it just here's basic math. I mean, if you're at 14,000 square feet, you should at least be at $1.4 million for $100 a square foot. I mean, you should have easily broke $1 million, but you're saying numbers like 160, 165 per square feet. You're in the $2+ million range is what you should have debt wise. And so the miracle alone of under $1 million, you're right. That is a miracle.
Yeah.
That's the
main. So, and we've been in there 11. Oh, it's incredible. And so we're in there and we've been in there 11 or 12 years and we're down to somewhere around 330 that we owe on it now.
Amazing.
And so part of my goal is I've been there 24 years and my intent is when it's time to hand it over to the next leader that God raises up, that it's debt free.
That's a beautiful goal.
So, and it's the only debt we have.
So take us back around then. In that amazing process that here's the thing, it's easy to look over your shoulder and see God's hand at work, right?
Yeah.
But when you're in the middle of it, it was the old phrase, you lose sight of the forest or lose sight of the trees through the forest. So what would you say, what did God show you? What was revealed to you in that?
Well, and here's what I found out is God gives us a vision. And I don't know what your vision is, you know, for different people, for you folks watching, you know, it might not be a church. It could be anything, but God gives you a vision and he says, okay, here it is. And then we take the vision and it's like we're on the 20 yard line and we get the handoff and we of course start running for the goalpost as fast as we can.
Absolutely.
You know, and the problem is number one, there's another team out there. But number two is that somehow, number one, our walk with God is not football. And number two, it is not up to us to get the ball past the other goalpost. God gave me a vision, and that's awesome. But the problem was, is I thought it was up to me to get it done. Mm-hmm. And so the resources that I was relying on was me. And the source I was looking to complete the project was me.
Wow.
And so I had to come up with a plan. I had to come up with an idea and I got exactly zero. Mm-hmm. And so I had no idea how this was going to be done. I just know God said to do it. And I really thought it was up to me. And consequently I was carrying the load and somehow in spite of me, God rose up and he met each step. We poured our footer. One of the cool things we did is we got Bibles, we put them in weatherproof settings, and then we went under the four corners of where the church footer was going to be laid. We dug down deeper, we put down the Word of God, put a layer over it, and then the footer was poured over it because we wanted our church built on the Word of God.
Wow.
Okay. And so, but every step we were able to meet, and if you've ever tried to get financing for a church and building a church, you know that nobody wants to finance a church. Mm-hmm. And consequently you tend to get higher rates, but we finally found a financier. But every step of the way, it was impossible, but you know, we had the building part, the steel building part paid for. That was up. We went to work. We did not know how we were going to get in that building. And every step of the way, God just kept meeting us in ways I don't even know how. And we finally got financing. And I think we could have got 900,000 max, but we were working with our contractor, and who is a good friend of ours now through the process, and ended up, you know, only needing 840 to get it finished. Wow. And again, we didn't think it would be entirely finished, but somehow things kept stretching, It's like the children of Israel in the wilderness, their sandals didn't wear out and their clothes didn't get holes in them. And here we were, we had the money we had, and for some reason it was stretching way past the math.
Yeah. Man, Pastor Manning, I love that you just brought up the children of Israel in the wilderness with their sandals, because the whole time you were talking just then, I started thinking about when it comes to Moses. Moses met God at a furnace or a burning bush. And of course, God says to Moses, I need you to go do this. So he gave him a vision. But where Moses was getting hung up was the provision. Right. And so God just said, listen, I just need you to go to Pharaoh. And he goes, well, at least here, throw your staff down. Like sometimes God throws us a bone, like selling, you know, being able to pay off your old building, youth coming in, paying off new land. Like he gives us enough, if I can say it this way, to be honest, to sucker us into the journey. Right. But then there's a day, there's a day that we're now standing in front of Pharaoh, and man, you're at plague number 3, 4, five. And then you have this whole group following, like you said, this whole group following you into this promised land of a new building. And you go, oh man, I don't have water for them to drink. I don't have boats to cross this Red Sea. I don't have food for them to eat. But yet, if you take those steps, that's where the provision starts coming in. And now you have this amazing testimony, either A, recorded by Moses for us, or B, Page, Arizona, where what happens when we follow the vision.
It's incredible because, you know, of course, and I think deep down, my biggest thing was, is, you know, the scripture about, you know, who starts to build a tower without knowing what it's going to take to complete it. Mm-hmm. But in fact, that's what we were doing. It's like, I don't know how we're going to get what we need to complete it, but we better do it. You know, we got to do it. And I was so, so afraid of basically of being a spectacle in this small town that, you know, of how can we, that we started and we couldn't finish, just like scripture says, you know. And so that was tough. But, you know, thank God that, you know, he is faithful even when we are faithless.
That's great.
And you know, and so, you know, is that a hard knock? I think so. It's kind of embarrassing as a lead pastor to say that. That's where I was at. The part of that is that God is faithful when we're faithless. And here's why. Because he can't deny himself. Mm. And so basically the nature of God, he will never compromise his nature for anyone or for any reason. Fortunately, I benefited tremendously from that because I was faithless and wasted so much time and worry and fret and taking so much on myself because my fear was that I would be basically, I would discredit the gospel and discredit myself and all of that, and which was totally wrong because it's not about me. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it never happens to you, but you know, sometimes leaders, we just kind of feel caught up in all that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just so crazy. But God was faithful. And it's funny because you hear different people that have done huge things like Tommy Barnett and are like, you know, don't be afraid of huge vision because when it's God in the vision, he provides. And before all of this, I was like, yeah, okay. How'd you do it? You know? And now afterwards, it's like, he doesn't know how God did it. God just did it.
Yeah.
And that's
which is
been
such the common story. That's what's crazy. That is the common story. Let's go through the word of God in so many different times. How did God do it? There isn't a formula. Because if it is a formula, now God works for us versus us working for God. And so could you do me a favor in the last just 2 minutes that we have here together, could you just, for those that are listening right now that feel like there's something inside of them
that they're supposed to step out and do. And that could be everything. And I just talking to you, that could be from starting a new business, going back to school, asking that girl or boy if they want to go out on a first date, starting your family, getting educated, whatever it might be, they're getting into the ministry. I mean, the list is incredibly long. But for those that are ready to step out, if you had 2 minutes with them just to encourage them, just to speak truth into their life, what would you say to them?
Well, first and foremost is, you know, is this God leading me?
Yeah.
Once that's settled, it's all settled.
That's
so if I know that this is God vision versus sure, Faith Bible Chapel is 2,000 people. Awesome. Doesn't that make me look great? Well, mm-hmm. That's a me vision. Mm-hmm. However, you know, is Faith Bible Chapel fulfilling the purpose God has for us, then that's a God vision.
Yeah.
And so number one, is it a God-led vision as opposed to I want this for me? That's step one. Once that's decided, then take the step God is calling you to take and then relax and wait. Wow. A young man when I was about 24 told me this. He said, whenever you get to a crossroads, he led Bridges for Peace. He was like 32 years old. I was like 26. And he said, whenever we get to a crossroads and we don't know which way to go, we sit down and wait for God to show us. Patience isn't my strong point, but that resonates. Amen.
Amen.
So
that would be- I want to, in just a moment, I'm going to tell everyone who's listening about the greatest journey that you could ever take, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But as we close down this portion right here, Pastor Manny, thank you for your investment in my life. The Navigation Church is blessed because of your investment in someone by the name of Pastor Brent and Teresa Johnson. But then also just thank you for all that you do for Navigation Church that many people don't know of. And a huge thank you for taking a few minutes out of your time to invest in us this Sunday morning.
You guys are the most exciting investment I can think of. So it's fun watching what God's doing with you guys. I look and take ideas from you. So.
Well, that's very humbling. So thank you for being here with us today. And now I'm just going to take a moment to tell you about the greatest journey that you can go on.
Amen. God bless you guys.
I know that I just mentioned this, but I want to say it again. Thank you, Pastor Manny, for investing in us and as a church. Here's what I think I love most about Pastor Manny. Doesn't he seem like the guy that you can go sit and have a cup of coffee with tomorrow? His pastoral care and the ministry and just telling a story, you just get sucked into it. And what a story that he shared. You know, there's a lot of highlights, but when you're in the middle of it, tell me it doesn't seem like all your lights seem really dim. If you're in the middle of any of those dimmed places right now, I just want to encourage you, rewatch this thing. Watch this story with an open heart to be encouraged that you should step out into what God has for you. And contrasting that to the life of Moses, get into Genesis. It's at the end of Genesis here and the beginning of Exodus. Get into the story of Moses. And don't just read it like, oh, I know this story. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. Stop. Actually, let's do this. Let's stop and ask those questions of, why am I feeling this way? And how would Moses be thinking? And what would he be facing going against the most powerful man in the world? And I bet you what Moses was going through is going to parallel what you are going through. And if you can see that Moses got to the other side, if you can see that Pastor Manny got to the other side, and I will say this, I have got to the other side in so many places in my life, I bet it will encourage you to get to the other side. But all of us have one thing in common. We get to the other side because of the voice that we're listening to. Who are we listening to? We're listening to God. We're listening to Jesus. We're listening to that Holy Spirit living inside of us. And all of this is possible because there was a time in our life that we said yes to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to just take 2 minutes right here to let you know that there is a God who created heaven and earth. And when I say that you're separated from him by a thing called sin. What is sin? What do you mean? It's when you know you're wrong. It's when you have that pit in your stomach, you say those words, you make that action, and you immediately regret it. How in the world were you taught to regret that? That's because we've been woven inside of our DNA. There's something known as morality. And when we infringe against those natural laws that have been built in the world around us by a loving God, it's called sin. And that sin has separated us from a close and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But on this day, you can once again be close to God. And guess what? You're going to sin again. You're going to mess up again. But God doesn't leave you, nor does he forsake you. Actually, he pulls you close in order to love you more. And if you would like to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. What do you believe in your heart? You're believing that there was a man named Jesus who died on a cross for your sins. But 3 days later, this is what Easter is. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But then confess with your mouth. What does that mean? I'm going to say it this way. Say this prayer after me. Repeat these words. Say, "Dear Jesus, today I recognize that there is sin in my life. And I no longer want that sin to separate me from you. But I want to start a journey with you. I don't know where this journey ends, but I know that I will go where you call me. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I call you Lord." God, I thank you for every person that has said that prayer. I thank you for every person that maybe have said it in the past, but they have moved away from you. Today they move close again. I thank you for every individual that said that prayer 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that just even saying it again in their head with me, revive something inside of them, that there's a burning bush calling them to a journey. And now, God, I pray for every person that said that prayer for the very first time. Not only do we celebrate with them, God, we welcome them into the family known as your sons and daughters. God, bless them this day. Holy Spirit, invade their lives. Become personal, intimate with them, and become the comforter that they've so desperately needed. And I say all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, I celebrate with you right now. I'm as excited now as I was even starting this broadcast, because I believe there's those out there that have made that decision for the first time ever. So what do you do now? Well, on some of our platforms, you're going to see a tab pop up. Make sure to click yes there that you receive Jesus. That way we can communicate. In other platforms, our moderators are going to throw up a line right now that if you said that prayer for the first time, just hit the like button and we'll make sure to follow up with you. But above all things, could you do me a favor? I need this from you. Could you just send us a note on any one of our social media platforms? We're checking them all. Send us a message. You can even email the church at church.office@navchurch.org. And we would love to be able to connect with you and celebrate this huge step that you've taken, which, by the way, it starts a journey, a lifelong journey, as you help, as you follow Jesus Christ. But as Navigation Church, here's what I'm going to commit to you, that we're going to be here to help you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless, and we will see you next week.